The first page is the attendance. And the second page and then we had an introduction there. The meeting was set by myself, who was moved by Honorable Murat Sessions, seconded by Honorable at once. And then we had a briefing from the department. And then we considered and adopted the minutes of the 22nd of March. This meeting was on the third quarterly report that we just adopted. And then matters arising was the draft portfolio committee of the second term program. And then we requested the secretariat to deal with it. And then we have ended the meeting at 12:24. Any corrections on the minutes? In the absence of that, can we adopt the minutes?
Mudulas tulo.
Yes, that is what I said.
No, we will not that Ganana or that move, but because it's delaying, let me rise to move that we adopt this minute as a true record of what transpired on that day in question.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Honorable Murat. Is there any second? Can we have someone to second the minutes, Honorable Members?
Chairperson, I second.
Thank you very much, Honorable Suela. I believe the DM is in the meeting. Welcome, DM. Okay. Maybe she's not in, I don't know. And I see Honorable Adwons is also in the meeting. In the meantime, can I ask you to slide for us the program of this quarter?
Yes, I'll do so right now, Chair. I see that Portia is joining us again. Let me just go to that.
Okay, all right. We must all come back to Parliament, people. We must come back to Cape Town. We can't operate like this.
Supported. We must all fly back to Cape Town.
Yes.
Comorbidities or no comorbidities.
That's what we are paid for. That's what we are paid for. We must just come back.
Agreed,
yeah.
Sir.
You see, the whip is saying the network is very terrible.
Typical of staying in the Bundu areas of Northwest.
Okay, let's quickly go through this and hopefully the support is able to connect successfully. Members, you remember we said the secretariat must work on this second quarterly report and they sent it to yourself. We had a constituency period from the 4th to the 14th of April, and we had an Easter weekend from the 15th to the 18th of April, which was yesterday. So today we are dealing with this meeting, which is the structure of the department and also processing all the reports that we just did. And then from this meeting, from the 25th to the 29th, we've got a leave period. And then we will be coming back on the 3rd of May. When we come back on the 3rd of May, we are going to have an engagement on the petition by Honorable Sukers pertaining to the closure of Siekuchat Primary School in the Western Cape. Fortunately, she is the member of our committee, and then she will take us through that on the 3rd of May. And then on the 10th of May, we will be having a briefing or an engagement session with Kagiso Trust on their roles and on their roles, functions, and responsibilities. And we will also be briefed by the department on the progress and status of school infrastructure, which is a CD and SAFE program. And then on the 17th of May, we are going to have a briefing by the department on the maths, science, and technology strategies and interventions, which is teacher training and development, teacher demands, needs, and learner uptake improvement, improved subject performance. And then on the 24th of May, we are going to have a briefing on an updated status report on the implementation of portfolio committee recommendations on an oversight visit that we had in Northwest and Free State provinces. And then on the 31st of May, we are going to have a briefing on the status of our oversight, which we had in Western Cape and Northern Cape early this year. And then on the 7th of June, we are going to have a briefing on the updated status report on the early childhood development function shift, the challenges and mitigations. And then on the 14th of June, we are going to have a briefing on the fourth quarterly report of the department. And then we are going to be on constituency period from the 20th of June to 15th of August. But in this quarter, we are also supposed to have an oversight in Mpumalanga province, which we are going to discuss with the chief whip and the house chairperson to see which date will be suitable, because there will be a budget process that is going to unfold as well. Like we know, we are going to have many plenaries, and normally they don't allow. So we are going to discuss that, and we are going to bring it back to them, to the committee, once we have agreed on the date. And we anticipate to deal with the issue of bailout bills as well, which we will be directed by the fact of approval from the House Chair with regards to the adverts, because that's where we are currently. We are at the point of adverts. But also, whilst I'm dealing with this, obviously, I think we will be expected as the committee to also go to KZN again because of what transpired last week. We are also affected because of the schools that are affected in that province. So those are also the things that would have to be considered by us for this particular quarter. So members, that's how the program for this quarter looks like. Of course, this is a guide. We know that now and then, if there is a need, we do change our program depending on what is there at that time. But then, any input, or can we adopt then the program as is?
Satisfied. I am satisfied with the program. But I honestly would impress on the chairperson to assist us to chip in KwaZulu-Natal when we deal with the oversight visits, because of what I can see just next to me. it really that does need to be seen by the portfolio committee. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Babu Ngobo. Honorable Fanabal, iPhone O.
Chair, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yes. Chair, thank you for the opportunity while I can be on the air. I just would like to refer to the billable process as well. Can I just get clarity, when will the actual advertisements go in for the public to be able to start writing to the department? I had a call, and I think it was a week or so ago, maybe 2 weeks, where the organization said they have spoken to Mr. Llewellyn, and they were scared that it seemed that they thought there was something advertised already and that they would lose out. So can we just for now get clarity exactly when will the advertisements go out so that the public can start with their official submissions? I'm not sure what those dates are. It's been quite a while since we spoke and been taken through the billable process. Thank you, Chair.
No, thank you very much, my friend of all. Principal?
Mudula, students, thank you very much. You see, the program, it's fully enriched. And then I'm glad you have also referred to us considering to go to KZN. Ubaba Mapolova is more than correct to say, of course, we need to get a brief from him as our resident member of this portfolio committee. He will guide and guide accordingly. But I plead that you persuade the administration to let us go and see for ourselves. We have lost lives. We have lost teachers. We have lost learners. And our schools are damaged. There is no way in which it must be emphasized emphatically so that there is need for this committee to fly to KZN. That's the first thing I think I must emphasize on. The second thing is, Chairperson, it's true that, you see, this is the program for the second quarter and which must be adopted by ourselves. But my fear is we will keep on adopting piecemeal quarterly programs. And if we are not raising it at the beginning, end up forgetting what still remains outstanding. I'm talking here about our international participation. I'm saying we are going to adopt this, but in as much as we adopt it, let it be noted that where possible, the next programs coming must take on board the areas that we are still to undertake, given the disturbance that we had with regard to the COVID, especially on this one, international participation, our study tools. And I say the next quarters must take that into consideration. Otherwise, I support Ubabama Polova in us adopting this all-important program. Thank you.
Okay. No, thank you very much. Ubabungawa, I think like I have mentioned that it's an urgent matter, which one also is thinking that there is a need for from us to go to KZN. We will try to have it as soon as we can, and oversight that deals with the floods that happened last week in actually it's in two provinces, it's KZN and Eastern Cape, the Port Said Johns area, that we would have to go to. So we will work on it And swiftly, we will keep on updating members how far we are and how soon can we go. But all of us, like we know, it can be an agent trip, so we must just be ready for it. And then the issue of the Bella Bill map and the world. You remember the last meeting we had asked our support staff to look into the issues of quotations for the papers, because our interest then was that all papers, in fact, that was the agreement of the committee, that all papers would need to be given an opportunity to make this advertisement, because of we understand the interest of the country in this bill. So we are waiting for that approval. As soon as we get that approval, we are going first thing to come back to the committee, so that the committee knows that we are going to embark on a process of advertisements, and then we will agree as a committee what date then we are going to start with those processes. We are not going to advertise without committee members knowing that we are embarking on an advert process, and it's going to start when and finish when, which is going to be our collective decision. So I hope that I have managed to try to respond to yourself, Honorable Van der Waals. Honorable Van der Waals, are you fine?
Chair, thank you for the explanation. It's just that, you know, we are swamped with people to know when must they send what where, and my response is that we are awaiting, but as soon as that advertisement goes out, then obviously the dates will be stated in the advert. So thank you for your response. I'll convert the response you've given me.
Thank you very much. Is this post back?
Yes, Chair, I'm back.
Can you proceed where you left?
Thank you, Chair. Mr. Brown, you disabled me on the screen sharing.
Portia, I've just made you a co-host. You can try now. Thank you.
Okay. Once again, thank you, Honourable Member. I think I was on this slide when the load shedding occurred. Was it this one?
Portia, I think you should go. You should go from there. Yeah.
Okay, fine. The previous slide had alluded to the purpose of the presentation, the priorities as set out from the regional, from the continental perspective, regional perspective and national ones having been cited. I also alluded to the MTSF priorities, as well as what the Department of State Education had planned in terms of their set plan and priorities, including the sectors of ACE and Umalusi. Further to that, I alluded to the work which was done by the committee in the last financial year, which was the reflection of the committee meetings and the oversight work which was done. This slide in particular summarizes what the committee has done, therefore, in the financial year 2021-22, whereby a meeting also conducted with Umalus and SAIS, a joint meeting with the Social Development on ECT Migration, the roundtable with the stakeholders, as well as joint planned ventures with the Select Committee on Education, Sports and Arts and Culture. With this slide, these are the lawmaking priorities for the portfolio of this education. We take you from the presentation which was done by the department, when the department at the beginning of the year presented to the committee that the Basic Education Amendment Bill is now coming into Parliament, and that the Basic Education Portfolio Committee would now need to process it within this particular financial year moving forward. So that bill is in the House. That bill has been presented to the Portfolio Committee. And just before I presented, I could hear the honorable members were discussing the adverts and all that. So it's a priority of the portfolio committee for this financial year. Also, honorable members, noting that the ECD function has occurred from the 1st of April and that the Department of Social Development has given this responsibility to DPE, the portfolio committee would also need to follow up on the work of other legislations which were done on the aspect of early childhood as the function shift. Also, the social development, having dealt with the Children Amendment Act, now that the children of ECD sector are within the DBE, the portfolio committee will have to look and introspect on the trail of legislation impacting on the Children's Act, maybe from the 2023 financial year moving forward. Then we have the GEC as a policy which fits under lawmaking. The portfolio committee would have to consider and make follow-ups with the Department of Basic Education during the oversight activities. On the bill itself, the Bella Bill, according to the Section 29 Constitution, the Parliament is required to do or facilitate public involvement. Now that the bill is with the committee, there are 2 days in particular where this bill was dealt with in the committee level. It was 8th of February and 15th of February, and an in-house agreement was registered, then the bill must be processed. Now, further to that, processing of advertising and making comments, I think it's where we are at right now. And after that, we will be requiring which are going to be scheduled. The last slide, honorable members, gives a suggestion or indication of where we can start as a portfolio committee. On the aspect of this bill, which takes into account the issue of the public participation, one of the Parliament's strategic objectives is the issue of enhancing public involvement, which falls under public participation. This is a core objective in the sense that for the committee to align its activities, its programs, its priorities, with this Bella Bill in particular, the portfolio committee will have to embark on a meaningful public participation processes so that the process can implement the public participation model. What do I mean by that? The public participation model has got 4 pillars. The first one is a pillar that says inform the public. And how do we inform the public? You inform the public by disseminating information. The public needs to know what is going on. How is it going to happen? And then formal educational programs must be structured. I think there's a public participation unit in Parliament which will have to liaise with, or the public education unit which must do that. That at the end of the day, when the consultation level is happening at the pre-visit or pre-public hearing, the environment is also scanned. Are we doing this to the people who are affected by this bill? What are their issues on the ground? That's also work which must happen so that they are consulted before the public hearing itself. And then the pillar which says involve. During those public hearings, the public comes through, they sit in the public hearings, they present to the portfolio committee, and in a way, the public is given an opportunity to participate in the lawmaking. And the last pillar speaks to feedback. Most often, when public participation processes happen, we inform, we consult, and involve. But we hardly go back to the stakeholders and give them that out of this participation. This is what came through. This is what came forth. This particular portfolio committee has to do that. The public and the stakeholders have to receive the feedback. If I've made a submission, my submission must not just be a report. I want to hear how my submission has given input to the contribution of the issue which was being discussed. So we owe the public some feedback. Then this feedback mechanism and this feedback pillar allows there for follow-up visits and monitoring and evaluation, which also takes into account the communication with the stakeholders which are relevant for this specific bill. The strategies for public involvement will include the following. Media alerts will have to be issued to the public. When there's a date and venue that has been identified and confirmed, the public will have to be informed where. The content must be provided in a very simplified manner, because we know that the bills are written in technical language. Not everybody has the capacity to understand the bills, because lawmaking is very, very technical. Now, when it goes out to the public, the content must be simplified. People must be informed so that when they make input, they make input to something which they also understand. The days, the venue, etc. And also the invitations that go out for this public submission must be such that those parties that have been identified or those who are bringing this on board needs to be informed by this advert. The advert itself must be in all official languages, including the Braille. Some people cannot read and write. Some people have no capacity to see what is written. Therefore, we must always be mindful of the fact that when we do things, we don't leave the Braille format, because some learners who are challenged or some people are challenged in terms of sight must be able to access it. The social media, the adverts and emails to organizations, as well as radio presentations and interviews by the leadership of this committee, whether it's the chairperson, the chief or whoever is designated, the leadership of the committee needs to inform also the public as to where we are now. We invite the public to come through. That strategy on its own shapes the people to understand that let's go to that public hearing. Let's participate. Let's make our voices heard. And lastly, the public hearings, we've tried to look at a slide that will draft a schedule. That schedule, honorable members, you may decide whether this is fine or you can flip it this way, but it just gives an indication of which provinces we've identified and which district. But it's not cast in stone. We can rework that one. In terms of cooperative governance, this is also aligned with the policy priorities of saying there needs to be strengthening cooperative governance and strengthening the legislative capacity. Here, honorable members, what we mean is that when we go out and do our monitoring of the executive, we do that sometimes in a concurrent function with the ONCOP, that is the Select Committee on Education, Sports, Arts and Arts and Technology, as well as liaising with the provincial counterparts, which work on educational matters. And this happens in all 9 provinces. When you do the state of readiness or school readiness, we will have to inform the provincial legislature that parliament is coming. Let's sit down and talk about what is happening here. Are the schools performing, functioning well? Are the schools functioning well, et cetera, et cetera? And also the need to collaborate with other spheres of government on matters of common interest. In particular, if I can make an example, we have a gender-based violence issue, which is the war of our country. Therefore, it means the Portfolio Committee on Basic Education has to liaise with the Portfolio Committee on Children, with Youth and Women, because a framework is in place that ensures that the gender-based framework needs to be implemented. They can't implement alone without coming to understand that a partnership is needed to monitor how the Department of Basic Education as well will make a contribution towards the gender-based framework. That's just an example. Also, there are situations where there are events or sectoral programs where participants from, as children are concerned, youth are concerned, women are concerned, need some input also from the public as well as from the members. It's very important that members now have a visibility in those events. I would like to cite an example where Honorable Adons was present at the last youth sectoral parliament. It was good because when learners speak, when the youth speak directly to members, it says it's a direct interaction with the members. So it's part of our program that we must also be mindful of the fact that let's bring this into our committee APP or strategic plan. Also, I think I've spoken on the liaison with the Committee on Women. The last one would be a liaison or collaboration with the Portfolio Committee on Communications. This would be in line with the 4IR mandate. As a country with a 4IR mandate, and therefore this collaboration with the Portfolio Committee on Communications would look into the ICT benefits for our learners, for our schools, for our communities. How best does this ICT strategy benefit them? And how then is the department according to the 80% of that state land, which reaches out to the schools, how would this also inform and support the schools better? So these are partnerships intergovernmentally and collaboratively, which the committee will have to work into. On the international participation, I heard Honorable Morasetla speaking about the fact that there was a plan for this oversight and the study tour. Yes, Honorable Member, you're quite correct. However, what needs to happen now is that when we could not travel during the 2020 financial year, it was due to a lockdown. So the travel plans are set aside. Now, what needs to happen as a priority this financial year is that the committee will need to consider this study tour and ensure that the draft plan, which was drafted then, is also revised and presented to the members of the portfolio committee for consideration. Also, if there are any bilateral or multilateral agreements that are still to be determined that impact on the basic education sector, the portfolio committee will have to look at that priority. And on this particular one, what we'd also like to suggest is short-term international exchange programs for our educators need to be encouraged. Once you leave the shores as an educator and learn what other countries are doing, learning best practices, you come back being better informed as well. Also, you share best interests and best practices of South Africa in a way that is also bilateral. So we need, even if it's 2 weeks, exchange programs for educators, not only for the members, but it's something that the members should encourage through the Department of Basic Education. Proposed study tours. This study tour would either be done with a joint select committee on education, sports, arts and culture. It's just a suggestion. However, countries which are recommended, the first one was the USA. We can still decide, okay, it's USA, or we look at Finland, because Finland across the world is one of the countries which has the best education system. Or we can look in the East. We look at China or we look at Russia. We know we in South Africa, we have a relationship with these countries. And let's look at how best do they implement their education system. This is a study tour. We'll go and start and see and how best also within the country in terms of the priorities and look and share and enhance our system of education. In Africa, Rwanda is identified. Ghana is identified, Kenya is identified. Focus areas going there would be the education, ICT, which is information communication technology, technical vocation and training, because these countries also, they flourish in terms of providing expertise, particularly at the technology in and vocational education. I've seen some of them, I can vet into that. So these are just suggestions, but if members feel that this is not the countries we want, members, by all means, can suggest that this is what we'd like to identify moving forward. Also, honorable members, we know that not every learner is academically inclined. So when we do these study tours, we must also look at these countries' sports, arts and culture programs so that we can promote the social cohesion in our schools. This slide, honorable members, succinctly and coherently make suggestions on the strategic objectives, the indicators, the quarterly targets from quarter one to quarter four. In a revised strat plan and APP, we will articulate each and every one of them. But for the benefit of time and limitation of time, we have succinctly squeezed them into one slide. Also aligning them with the strategic objectives of Parliament. For example, number one, on oversight and accountability. What indicators will be there that says we have done oversight and accountability? Meetings will be held on sector planning, APPs, budget, quarterly report will be presented, and in a quarter we'll look at maybe five because we have these entities, a quarter one, five, quarter two, one, quarter three, one, quarter four, one. And then in meetings with the entities, briefing by the department on the budget vote and BRRR or annual report, we also flag in there some targets. And when I say other the department, other entities, it's other entities beyond SAYS and Umalusi, for example, the QLTC, and there's one, the NECT, the NECT, those are other and other stakeholders who'd like to come in to engage, we will look into that. And then how many oversight visits will be undertaken per quarter? We've outlined that per quarter 111, or the members can decide, okay, we'll need other provinces to be brought on board. And then on public participation, we anticipate that in quarter one, we won't have public participations, but in quarter two, we look at maybe two provinces or one province, quarter three, two, quarter four, two. And then submissions, if there are any, they will also come forth with the advert that has come through, or as Honorable Sokes is coming forth with that petition in the organization, already you felt we'll slot that in. On the legislation, obviously, is a Bella bill. So by the end of quarter four of 2022-23, the bill may be processed, or it may go over the next financial year, but at least in the plan, we'll flag that in there. Such that appointments we don't have so far. Then lastly, on cooperative governance, it's members' participation as well, and partnering with other organizations. And then this slide, honorable members, is giving a draft idea, because it's part of the planning, that if we're anticipating, we are going to be processing this Bella bill, when do we start with the public hearings? I know that the advert is not yet out, but it does not stop us from planning. So that from planning, we know exactly where do we go, where do we start, which way, and where do we end. Now, the provinces which are here, we started with Limpopo. And at Limpopo, we identified educational districts that we have not touched. We did go to Limpopo in 2020. We looked at Capricorn, and we looked at another education district, Sekukune. So we've done those two, but at least for this one, we can look at Bembe, we can look at Giani, Capricorn, or Tanin, but the members can also give us some identity, some suggestions. These are merely suggestions. At KZN, we did go in the last financial year, and again, I hear that now members say we need to go in terms of the crisis which is happening, but identified is Ugu, Ilembe, King Rajuayo, and Zululand. Again, honorable members, we identified these ones because the committee did not as yet pay oversight visits to this particular educational district. Gauteng would be Tshwane North, Tshwane South, Gauteng East, Gauteng West, Western Cape. We can bring in Central and East together because they are not far apart. Overberg, we have not done Overberg. We have not done Eden and Karoo, as well as West Coast. The strategic focus of this is such that where we've gone before, this day, Eastern Cape, OR Tambo Inland, we haven't done that district. Manfred, we haven't done Manfred. Chris Honey West, and Nelson Mandela and Mutiewo. Now, in terms of access and participation, if one education district we do, we invite 250 people apart from the walk-ins, it means that per province will have identified 1,000 participants. And at the end of these public hearings, we would have reached out to 9,000 people as a sample in South Africa. That 9,000 is not confined just to the invited participants, but we understand that there will also be walk-ins that will come through. Then the risk and constraints that we have identified for our work in the portfolio committee, we do identify that the COVID-19 had a disastrous effect. Schools were locked down, negative impact on the economy, the unemployment and school closures. On the school closures, our programs were affected, and then the program of the committee was also affected. Also with the COVID-19, there were health and security risks in terms of our own resource staff as well and comorbidities. And I think the portfolio committee has lost one member from KZN. If Mama, I forgot her name, but she succumbed to COVID in the previous year. Then with public hearing, we foresee that in terms of the regulations still, we may see filling of the venues to full capacity to be a challenge. Let me make an example. In the previous years, we'd call 500 people to a hall for public hearing. But now, really, can we call 500 people to a hall? Probably not, because we must create some space and all that. So we need to be still compliant. So that COVID also will somehow impact on the public hearings themselves. And then the budget, we are mindful of the fact that there might be some cuts. There are budget cuts, not might be. There are budget cuts and these budget cuts may give due pressure to the programs, particularly on the international participation. However, if it does not happen this year, maybe we can say it can happen next year. Then the cost implications on the project of the Bella Bill. Honorable members, apart from this draft set plan, we are also going to give you a full scope of the project plan of the Bella Bill so that you can see with the full scope what it costs each and every member to leave Cape Town to each and every province. And then we can make an informed decision around the costing as well as the vastness of provinces and costs related to air travel, accommodation, venue, and all. The cost might be high, which puts a pressure on the budget, but those are things that we need to discuss and have it identified also as a risk and a concern. Lastly, the migration shift of ECD function to DBE happens at a time when the committee is dealing with the process of the bill, which still requires more effort and more work to ensure that there's effective oversight, particularly on the fact that we'll be revisiting the schools, as well as preschools, ECD centers, home-based care centers, play groups, etc. Now, while in the past we look only at schools, that is primary schools, secondary, and technical schools and all that, we now have a new mandate, the ECDs, which brings on board another timing that at the time when they're coming through or dealing with the bill. So our work will not be the same, honorable members. We have to work very hard to ensure that what has been planned is executed and what the department has planned and what priorities were put in place, the tracking mechanism, the tracking monitoring, and the evaluation when you come to our legacy report. This particular committee has done the work, and effectively the oversight was strengthened, the public was involved, there was engagement on the cooperative aspect, and legislatively the bills and the legislation was processed. I end off there. It's not the end, it's just the start. When we come back to you, this will be more refined. And when we come back now, it will give the goals, it will give the objectives, it will even give the key performance indicators and the time frames. And who is responsible? I thank you, honorable members, for the opportunity. Thank you.
No, thank you very much. That is the start plan. It's something that we've never done since we were members in 2019. And now we are seeing the start plan, the work that we have done. It's a start plan for 2022-2023. Which of course has made the highlights of the work that needs to be done for this year and what we need to focus on, what are our priorities. As much as we have these programs that we continuously have, these are the references. We are now going to allow members to make an input in the document, or probably share some comments on how must we probably strengthen this document, or what can be done, or how does members feel? I see the hand of Honorable Boshoff and Honorable Sukers and Honorable Muratela. Let me then allow Honorable Boshoff to lead the questioning. Thank you, Honorable Boshoff.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I hope my sound is at least audible. It seems to me it's not very good at all. And I'll switch off my video just that you see it's really me speaking. There are two parts of this strat plan that I want to respond to. The one regards the Bible and the other one the overseas, I would really concur with the suggestion that the Borsha made, saying that due to budget cuts and so on, it should be resort if we are really in a position now to do so. But I'm not a full member. I'm only an alternate member of this committee, so I'm not, you know, if the aeroplane takes off, I'm not in it in any case. But the Bela Bowl is something a little bit more urgent to me to discuss, and we have this whole schedule drawn up to go all over the country, and where it was also mentioned that this will be quite a costly affair. And I wonder if it wouldn't be to put the cost to do it in this way, because I'm sure that if we in the committee go through the available clause by clause and we regard some of the input that we have already received, it will transpire actually that this bill is outdated before it is even a law. Now, if we look at the schedule, it means that we are proceeding with public participation until March next year, and then it must still go to the provinces, to all the provincial legislatures, where there might also be a need or a feeling that it is necessary to do public participation. It's not impossible that legislatures might decide to do so, which may bring us to 2024, yes, before this bill can be accepted as law, and that would make it 7 years after the bill has first been published. And in the meantime, the whole restructuring of the educational landscape, which was, well, evident even for 10, 15, 20 years, but was really, you know, it really ripened during the lockdown, which is not considered, it's not taken into account in this bill at all. So except for the other questions on which school governing bodies might have inputs and other institutions and individuals, we have this problem which could be arranged in some way. It could be said that this bill only regards or only regulates schools. Other modalities of education must be regulated by another act or another bill which should be introduced and which can be more up-to-date. But, you know, if we go through all of this, and all this huge cost, only to realize that the bill is outdated even before it has been put forward, you know, even before it can be voted upon in the National Assembly, then it is all money wasted. So I believe that is a function of having an engagement on the plan for the rest of the year, for the strategic plan. And I submit this to the committee. Thank you, Honourable Chair.
Honourable Zuckers?
Thank you, Chair. If Chair would just allow me, my unfortunately, my internet is not very good. I struggled earlier as well, so I will keep my video off. I think, Chair, there's a few key focus areas that I just want to mention here. Firstly, I should say thank you for a very spirited and passionate presentation by our support, Portia. Thank you very much. It was a very good presentation. And Chair's right, it has not been done. It's the first. And one that I'm very thankful for, because it is important that we strengthen oversight. I think the one thing before I go to the key focus areas, we have to somehow, Chair, the format that we had when we did the round table around infrastructure when we were in Pretoria, it was a very effective engagement
with the different departments. And in terms of how we do oversight, and this is across several committees that I've seen this, we really suffer death by PowerPoint with the departments. And one of the ways to strengthen oversight is really for us to insist that the manner in which, you know, departments report to us as committees, and specifically now education as well, would not just be, you know, this, I don't know how many hundreds of slides, and, you know, in a manner that really makes it difficult for the engagement. We need to ask that it be done in a way that it is effective, and that would allow for enough time for members to engage around those things. That is just in terms of the oversight. But in terms of the key focus areas that are important for us as a committee is the issues of research and whether the department is resourced adequately. We see now the billions in terms of budget that is being given here to the department. It is a strategic weakness that the department relies on outside researchers, because it means that those researchers will only research what is of interest to them. So, you know, the areas that we need research in, and that shouldn't be just reliant on NPOs providing us with that, is the issues of school dropout. We see across provinces and in our constituencies how high the school dropout is. So all that, especially in light of the national development priorities that has been set out here by this presentation, it will never be realized if you don't have proper research. And then the around ECD, alternative education, and yeah, I disagree with Honorable Bosshoff in terms of the need for us to do a study, to do study tours. How are we going to look at the education system, specifically as public representatives, around the issues of home education, micro schools, and virtual schools? Those three areas that are very imperative areas for strengthen the education system. Then the fourth thing is the rural education. It's a major concern. Sorry, Chair, can I continue? Good. Hi, Chair, can I continue?
You can proceed, Ms. I don't know whose mic is on, but you can proceed now. It's quiet.
Yes. Then the other issue is around rural education and the closure of rural schools, whether it be in the best interest of rural children. I want to ask that that form part of, I'm very interested in this whole thing around the National Development Plan and the issue of home language and the issue of you know, how all of this fits in when we close schools on the one end, we speak rural development on the other end. It is as if we are, the policy implementation is running contrary to the priorities in the different plans of government. And it's very interesting. And as a part of our oversight, we should address the incongruence that is in this. Then the impact of comprehensive sexuality education and best practices in preventing learner pregnancies and the issue of bullying and gender violence. Those are key focus areas, Chair, that needs the committee to engage with the department in terms of its research and the way in which it engages around those key priorities. These areas that I've just mentioned, these seven areas, it does not appear in the 2019 and the 2023 research plan of the Department of Basic Education, and it is urgent. So the billions that are being allocated, but they are not enough being allocated to these research areas. And then the issue around also the National Development Plan, when it speaks about, you know, the economy and the development of skills specifically, the issue of within this committee around the National Senior Certificate for Adults, The funding is provided to AMALUSI, but the progress is not being made on the NASCA. And there's a disconnect between funding through the Portfolio Committee Basic Education, that a lack of oversight from us, as it falls within the Department of Higher Education and Training. So it falls in between the cracks between us and the higher education. And so it has been delayed now for the last, since 2014. So I don't know how oversight is going to be achieved, especially where this is concerned. And this is a high priority, Chair, as you know, because we're sitting with a lot of people between 18 to 35 that are in no program whatsoever, whether it be training or skills development. Then another key focus area is the issue of consideration for independent education sector and how we're going to make it achievable so that the sustainable goals are met, and that, you know, it is a major economic driver as well. The president spoke of how does departments going to, play their part in growing the economy. Now, the independent education sector is not a priority, it seems, if you look at all the issues that especially I have raised around, how much it costs for independent schools. So that is a key focus area as well that we as a committee needs to engage the department with. And again, I want to emphasize, Chair, this forms part of what the president of the country has spoken of. So it is not, it doesn't fall outside of the priority of the current government. There is no trend that we are being given on another key focus area, which is home education. We receive no reports on trends. We receive no numbers, no status update on the delays in registration. And this should have been included in the quarterly reports. And then lastly, Chair, the issue of policies. What policies are planned, which are being worked on, what are the planned deadlines? For example, the school admission policy, we were asked, a comment was invited in February of 2021. We don't know what the progress is. The rural education policy comment was requested in 2017, but we can't find a finalized policy. And what policy is being planned on virtual schooling? So we need regular reports on these, and the public is asking us questions around the Chair. So these are just the key focus areas in line with the presentation that I want to highlight. Thank you, Chair.
Principal?
Let me join the queue, Chairperson, in welcoming and appreciating this well-oiled report and presentation as presented by Mama Portia. Mumakazi. Of course, the presentation itself, like you have already alluded to, that we are doing this for the very first time, and how I wish that it should not be the be-all and end-all, but let it be a start, because given the manner in which she has presented this report, everyone listening will agree with me that the presentation itself is pregnant with information, thought-provoking, and full of insight. And we want to appreciate this. Let the ball keep on rolling, especially in this direction. I've got 3 points to raise. Mudula's tool. Yamatomo, it will be the point on the Bella Bill. Can I indicate that nothing is lost as we speak? I hear the fear registered that we are likely to have the bill exhausted before it can even kick start. But I hold a different view, Chairperson, because to me, education is dynamic by change, by nature. It will keep on changing as long as we live. That which was acceptable as the ground motive for the previous years or in the previous era, especially during apartheid, is something of yesterday, today as we speak. However, I want us to succeed on this Bella Bill as we will be venturing into the public hearings. I said in the past that ours, given the enriched constitution of the world class that is before us, is a participatory democracy. There is no way that we can just wake up like a dictator and say to the public that this is the way to go. And my wish and prayer, Chairperson, is that where possible, the sooner the advert is released, the better, so that indeed we can kick the ball rolling on this very important piece that will see an amended legislature with regard to our education system and the offering of education for our children. The four cardinal points going down, talking about the Bella Bill, which was indicated by Mama Portia, of informing, consulting, involving, and getting a feedback, is very important. But of importance, I would say the first two, where we will have to inform the public that we are on the way. And secondly, consultation with the major stakeholders. You see, Chairperson, what is very and is going to decide our rise or fall on this is how we will be able to get the people to get to the centers so that they are going to be full participants with full knowledge and understanding. At the end of all these public hearings, we will rise up with our heads up that indeed we have consulted and the public has informed the bill before it could even be adopted into law. We want to indicate that the baby, the rise and fall of this thing, it's the bill, it's in the hands of this portfolio committee. It is therefore going to be very important that, Honorable Chair, whatever move we are going to do, of course, Mama Portia indicated that the advert is not going to distract us from preparing. In the process, as and when we go all out to prepare, let us rise up and of key importance, see how best we can be able to identify the major stakeholders on education so that when we go out to involve them, we know we are talking to the right people. This is more about politics, but it is more about the dynamism of education and the way to go. Let me step off from the Bella Bill and the public hearings and get to the second one, the international participation. It is true, the report as presented indicates that we have planned for this study tools. And we are already in the second, it is not the third year of our term. We have not yet undertaken even a simple and single one. we understand the barriers that impeded us. But I believe we must rise above those challenges now with the lifting of the National Disaster Act as pronounced by the president. I think we have got a responsibility on this one to take a formal resolve that it must be prioritized. We are itching. We don't want to just go for a tour, but we want to go out for a study tour. And I want to indicate that in as much as we go there, let us identify those countries which to a large extent are aligned to us as a republic, on the as a country. We don't want to come back here and just make a complete overhaul as if we never knew what we've been doing all along. We need something which will be able to augment on the ground and the foundation already established so that we build on it and make our education system a better and a very viable will of enlightening our children. The last one is now in this study group. I want to sponsor, and I know Ubabama Polova is going to support me. Now this one comes as a formal proposal for us to go to KZN. So that you see, when you report, you must report with the emphasis that we shall have put. KZN has been hit by the catastrophic national disaster. And it must shake us all. And in as much as it has shaken the whole globe, even the United Nations commented about it. As we speak, the truth is a number of our people have been swept away. A number of infrastructure destroyed. Roads, schools, buildings, houses, teachers, and school kids, some of whom are still missing. We can't fold our arms. With interest in education, I'm challenging this portfolio committee that we adopt this formal proposal that we want to get to KZN and see for ourselves. As a portfolio committee. I thank you. Gifedi Jemudula Stool. Thank you, Guri Gialebo.
The hand of Honorable Sukar, it should be a legacy hand.
No, it is not, Chair. It's a new hand.
Is it new?
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, let's allow you then to speak.
I just wanted to add, Chair, because I said in terms of the study tour, I want to also, as I said before, say that it is needed. We need to see the elements, especially of curriculum recovery, as it has done in similar countries like ours. But the point that I do agree with Honorable Bosov on, which is the point that I highlighted in terms of research, is that it is highly likely that sections in the Bella Bill are out of date or haven't even been considered. And I think I labored the point in terms of the research and the elements of that. That is the capacity of that is lacking. And so the bill in terms of that, those parts needs a relook at. So virtual schooling needs to be addressed urgently. New modalities like home education and micro schools require research. And we know the DBE lacks research. So as a committee, we should address this first. And I agree with Honorable Bosov. in terms of that, those things as it applies to the Balabol, that there are sections that are out of date. So we should consider if these aspects are not better dealt with in a separate bill. And we did this with the Children's Amendment Bill in Social Development and pursued a second Children's Amendment Bill in order to facilitate the processing of the main sections of the bill. So I just want to make that clear, Chair. I agree with Honorable Boshoff. There are parts of the Bella Bill that is outdated. It is outdated, the bill itself. And so that, you know, we need to consider the committee should address this first before we can even start with it. And it would be a waste. If we start the process, if it is not fully fully researched aspects of it, that is. Thank you, Chair.
No, thank you very much, members, for your participation in this trust plan, which. Which at least has reminded us of our work as the lawmakers and as the members of parliament, particularly that are responsible for the basic education issues of this country. So, Boss, I'm not sure if you want to respond to some of the issues.
Yes, Chair, I can do so quite briefly. Honorable members, thank you very much once again for the opportunity to present and the opportunity you provided to listen and the inputs in the direction that you have provided that will enable us to move things forward. Also to thank the staff members and colleagues who have made some input and direction in terms of the drafting, both from Parliament as well as liaison with DPA, etc. One comment which I'd like to make is on the issue of the Bella Bill being outdated and all that. I want to make an example of the Foreign Service Bill, which became a bill in 2015. I'm making an example. The Foreign Service Bill went through as far as 2019 when it was rejected at the NCOP when the parliament was looking for concurrence. Remember 2019, we had new administration coming in. But look at what happened. When it was rejected, it was brought back to the NA. The bill became revised, right? It's coming from the fifth administration, but in the sixth administration, it was revised. And as we speak right now, in 2020, that bill was passed in the National Assembly and was assented by the president, which means if there are issues that need to be revised with the Bella Bill, the committee must consider that and look into it. If the time frame of the portfolio expires, there's a legacy report where the portfolio committee will report on the legacy report. This is how far we started. This is how far we end. Therefore, as a legacy report, the next administration must look at A, B, C, and D. Remember, education is developmental. It starts, it moves, it goes. Let the ball roll. Where we are stopping or revising, let the new administration 2024-25 moving forward take the ball and move on. It can happen. It can work. But I don't think it can stop. That's my first comment there. Also, we have the white paper that comes back as far back as 2002 or 2001 on inclusive education. This one still remains as a white paper. And we have the sixth administration. When is this white paper going to move forward? Question mark. I leave it there. I note the disagreement that members have made and respectfully some of the comments which were made on the focus areas. I love that very much because now when we go back, we're going to look at the input. We look into rural education. We look at the home language, mother tongue, sexuality education, gender, NASCA, and other policies of admission. This is what we want in this session. So it has helped a lot big time. I love the participatory approach, the participatory democracy, because our democracy should be such that each and every person in South Africa is able to participate, especially in lawmaking. That bill, that participation, for reasons we put in the ID number on that form, that will go on the Google form, we would like to see from the population of South Africa how many youth have participated. Because sometimes don't even know, but that information says in the segment and the sector and what the data is putting, it shows on board to say who is participating and if there are gaps, who do we still need to approach and reach. And then lastly, I acknowledge what has transpired as a disaster in KZN, but I think that one is for the committee also to identify, as well as the international participation, which countries as per the agreements in the portfolio committee side. I thank you, Honorable Chair, thank you colleagues and everyone who's made an input. We are going to refine it and we bring it back looking much more strengthened. Thank you.
So thank you very much, Ms. Posh, and thank you very much to the members once again. I think we at least have an understanding now of what a structure is, what does it look like for parliamentarians, and how for this financial year then we would plan and what is expected of us as this committee. There is a serious outcry of the study tour. It's a process that we have started then when we started in 2019, but then we had to leave it. Because of the COVID. Maybe it's something that we need to revive and see if we can pull through with it. As the committee. But we think with the issues of Bela Bill, like I have responded to Honorable Van der Waals, I don't think it's a matter that will be left for some members and other members not to know how to move forward. The concern of the fact that the bill is outdated, we must all remember that this bill has been with the department for the past 5 years. We only got this bill now in February. And we are trying by all means to make sure that everybody will be able to participate in the bill, because we have observed the interest that our people have on it. But we can't rush it because of we are worried of the issues of being outdated. My point here is that it has been with the department for the past 5 years. And by the way, it's not even our bill as parliament. This is DPE's bill, which we need to do public hearings on it. So step by step, there is no way that we are going to leave members of the committee not informed of what step where we are as we will have to work together. Now, with other issues that members have raised that would need to strengthen the document, I think that you have taken note of them, Posh, and you will be able to then do that, strengthen this document. With that as it may, then, I think we have come to an end of this meeting today. I'm sure, Mr. Brown, we are done with minutes, right?
Yes, Chairperson, we've done the minutes and the two reports. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, so let me then thank everybody for being part of this meeting. We are now going to meet on the 3rd of May. Like we know, all of us, that next week is a leave week. And also, we are going to ask then our support staff to also try to see when soon can we go to KZN, and they must identify the areas and the schools that are affected that we must go to. It is KZN and Eastern Cape. So please note that it's not only KZN, it's KZN and parts of, I'm not sure if there are schools damaged in the Eastern Cape part because of floods, but that is the research you need to do for us and assist us in getting that information, and then see how soon we can go to those two provinces to make an assessment of the floods damages as the committee. So with that as this may, I think we are then at the end of our meetings. We are going to meet then on the 3rd of May. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. It was short and brief before load shedding this side.